This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, and American Pharoah and Firing Line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Run Happy just keeps coming at him past the 16th pull. Run Happy, and boy, does this horse love to run. The aptly named Run Happy for Edgar Prado to take it.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
But there's no catching Wedding Toast. Wedding Toast, much the best here, all the way in the Beldame.
There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to yet another five-star edition of the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, alongside my usual entry mate here on the program. You know him as Pope Jude, Jude Feld, the Pontiff of the Pick Four. And we are with you, as always, on a gorgeous Saturday morning. And I say gorgeous for a good reason, because just when you thought HRN couldn't possibly bring you anything new after more than a decade of award-winning horse racing programming, well, here we are at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, embarking on a nine-week journey to bring you exclusive coverage of Gulfstream's premier championship meet stakes. And it begins this afternoon with the running of the Don Handicap. It runs all the way through the Florida Derby on April 2nd, and we are so happy to have you with us coast-to-coast and worldwide. Sirius XM, Channel 93, affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and, of course, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. This is Saturdays at Gulfstream, and we are happy to kick it off for you right here exclusively on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Good morning, JT.
Good morning. It is a good morning. It's fantastic. Nice weather, beautiful sunshine, blue skies, a few puffy clouds.
palm trees. The fountains are not quite spewing in the walking rain.
You know, JT loves his palm trees. Being a California boy, born and raised, and, you know, I love palm trees. And the minute that we step foot in Fort Lauderdale, I am just really happy. And the paddock here, replete with palm trees. And, you know, it's just a very relaxing feeling for me, and love to be at Gulfstream Park.
Yeah, and if folks couldn't tell, I'm a little fired up for this new series because, as I mentioned, we have always tried to come up with different ways to reinvent ourselves. You remember this past summer, we introduced a brand new program that airs every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon on Sirius XM, and that show is called Express Bet Radio. That was a brand new program. Over the past couple of years, we've introduced shows like Jock Talk and Trainer Talk and our call-in shows, the Brisnet.com call-in show and the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview, and it all adds up to what has become the signature radio horse racing broadcast platform in the sport of thoroughbred racing, and we are very proud of that. And to add exclusive coverage from Gulfstream Park over the course of the next 9 weeks just falls right in line with everything else that we're doing and building here on the network.
Well, you know, the best racing, obviously, in the wintertime is here at Gulfstream Park and at Santa Anita in California. So you want to be here. You want to see these horses as they're going down the trail to the Triple Crown. And yeah, and some of them are already, you know, getting ready for the Breeders' Cup, which is going to be at Santa Anita. So it's a great place to be if you're a horse racing fan. And, of course, you can't beat the weather. And Gulfstream Park, just a playground for people that love horse racing. And it's a great spot, and I'm very excited to be doing these races and to be here. This is the first time I've ever spent an extended period of time. We usually come down here for 4 days at a time, like three or four times during the meet, but to be here for almost the whole meet is really, really cool.
Yeah, and I mentioned kicking things off with the Don Handicap this afternoon, that exclusive coverage coming up beginning at 4 o'clock Eastern time here on the network. It will be right here on Sirius Channel 93, and you can access a streaming worldwide on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer through our website, horseracingradio.net, and you can catch that coverage again 4 o'clock this afternoon. The Don Handicap, we mentioned this on the show last week. We won't tell the whole story, but the Don Handicap's a special event for us here on the network. It was a milestone broadcast back in 2006 when we decided to take our show on the road and come to Florida for the first time. And our first broadcast from Florida was right here at Gulfstream for the 2006 Don Handicap. Brass Hat winning for Buff Bradley with Willie Martinez aboard.
Yeah, it was a fun day. It was a wet day for me as I was outside in the rain, as per my usual when I started working with Horse Racing Radio Network. And it was just one of those days that you will never forget if you were here and involved. Barbaro won that day, one of the undercard races, and it was a crazy day for us as broadcasters, but a really cool day of racing and very exciting day.
Well, the Don Handicap, of course, named in honor of the Don family, who owned and operated Gulfstream Park for a very, very long time. And in terms of this year's running, it will go as race number 13 on the program today. That's right, you heard me, race number 13. It's the final race on the program. A post time for the Don of 5:53 Eastern. It is preceded by the 30th running of the Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap, both of those part of our coverage this afternoon. But when you look at this year's field, you're looking at eight horses that were entered on Wednesday for the Don. You have Todd Pletcher, who comes here with three entrants. He is, of course, Gulfstream's leading trainer. He saddled more Don Handicap winners than any other trainer in history with four, so he's looking to add to that total. And Jude, a potent trio with Made from Lucky, Miss Shawish, and It's a Knockout.
Yeah, those are three very, very good horses. And of course, I'm always partial to Miss Shawish. He's so handsome. I mean, he is really one of the best-looking horses I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen countless horses in my life, but he is breathtaking to look at. He's a very talented horse. He's always forward in his training. The horse seems to never have a bad day. And so he's a horse that you should come down to the paddock and just take a look at him, because he really is a specimen. But Made from Lucky, he loves Gulfstream Park. He has two wins in three starts here, and he's a very talented horse. And It's a Knockout, talk about liking Gulfstream Park, four wins in five starts.
Yeah.
So Todd knows what he's doing. He's got these horses primed and ready. It's a good addition to the Don, and there's Contention Runs Deep. Valid is a really, really cool horse who runs hard all the time. He's won 6 of 12 at Gulfstream. Mexicoma was just so impressive here in the Sunshine Millions Classic. He ran a big race that day. He seems like he's back to where he used to be a horse that's always been highly regarded, but never really had a chance to put it together with injuries and time off. But he seems to be at the peak of his game. So it's going to be a great race today.
Yeah, and as much success as a guy like Todd Pletcher has had, and as good as those three horses are we just talked about, and some of the other names that you mentioned, we can't overlook the morning line favorite, who is, of course, Keen Ice, the Travers winner from a year ago. He is the only horse to defeat eventual Horse of the Year and Triple Crown winner American Pharoah in 2015. He comes here, I mentioned, 5-2 on the morning line, and making his four-year-old debut in the Son of Curland, looks like he might be poised for a big effort.
Well, you look at his form, and I think it's six or seven grade one races he's competed in yeah, in a row.
Dale never misses a grade one, by the way.
not if he can help it. He's run against the best. He obviously beat American Pharoah. That always looks good on your page.
Yeah.
So, he's a very, very good horse, and he's going to have to run, though. I mean, it's not a walkover. There's a lot of nice horses in this race. So even though he is the morning line favorite and he's going to shoulder top weight in here, he's going to be tested today. So it's not an easy race for him, but he certainly has to be considered a major contender.
And he has the services of Eclipse Award-winning jockey Javier Castellano, the leading rider here at Gulfstream Park. And the last time Javier was aboard, the only time he was aboard, was in that Travers victory last year. So some good mojo and karma going with a guy like Javier.
There's I wrote in Pope Jude, it's musical jockeys in this race. The jockeys are all riding different horses than they rode in their last start. So it's very, very interesting to try to get behind the mind of a jock agent, a trainer, as you're handicapping that race and try to figure out who made the right move.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, because this afternoon on our coverage beginning at 4 o'clock, we're going to be joined by a brand new analyst, a new member of the Horse Racing Radio Network team, and that is retired jockey Herb McCauley. And he has been aboard so many big winners in his career. He rode more than 3,100 winners, including several grade ones. And he'll be part of that coverage, but he's also going to join us this morning, right around 9 o'clock Eastern time. He'll sit in and talk about some of those different things that we see happening in the Don, in particular, the musical riders, and what goes into picking which horse to ride in these big races, and how do you align yourself with the right ownership group, the right trainer group. Nobody knows that better than a guy like Herb McCauley, so I'm looking forward to asking him that question later this morning.
Yeah, he's a great guy, a real interesting guy, and glad to have him on board.
Of course, Dale Romans, we mentioned him, the trainer of morning line favorite Keen Ice in this year's Don. He's going to join us right around 8:30 Eastern time. Mike Nyman, the Gulfstream Park Director of Marketing, will be here right around 9:20 Eastern, and then we'll wrap it up by heading out to California to visit with our good friend Mike Willman, the Director of Publicity at Santa Anita. We'll talk about their outstanding program and the three-year-olds in the spotlight, both the three-year-old males and the three-year-old ladies, including Champion Songbird. We'll talk to Mike right around 9:45 Eastern time. Stay with us. Big show. A lot of things to get to as we kick off Saturdays at Gulfstream here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End. Adina Springs Stallion Awesome Again has proven to be a breed-shaping stallion, the sire of 14 Grade 1 winners.
Octave on the outside. Three of them going to hit the wire together. Hysterical Lady, Ginger Punch.
Nine millionaires, including five multi-millionaires.
Game on, dude! Gonna write his way into the history books! Game on, dude! And Mike Smith have won the Santa Anita Handicap!
And he remains the only Breeders' Cup Classic winner to sire a Breeders' Cup Classic winner.
Go Zephyr kicking clear, and Go Zephyr is pulling away impressively!
Awesome Again's lifetime progeny earnings are nearly $80 million, with average earnings per runner over $106,000. And he's the broodmare sire of 53 stakes winners. Sons of Awesome Again at stud in Kentucky include Ghost Sapper, Painter, and Oxbow. Learn more about Awesome Again by visiting adinastallions.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you, with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Ramsey Farms, Kitten's Joy.
Stephanie's Kitten and Erod Ortiz Jr. for America in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf.
A champion sire and producer of three Grade 1 winners in 2015.
Chiropractor March Chiropractor in a driving finish here over March.
With more than $11 million in progeny earnings this year.
Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. Visit RamseyFarm.com.
Ready for a new way to play the races? RacehorseDraft.com is the daily fantasy horse racing game, offering new tournaments every day for both the novice and avid horse racing fan. Play multiple races for one entry fee while playing for points with no complicated gimmicks or handicapping. Play your favorite jockey or racetrack and compete in survivor pools, head-to-head, free games, and small or large money tournaments. RacehorseDraft.com. Fantasy horse racing, where you win with your skill. Visit RacehorseDraft.com and play today.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
A multiple graded stakes winner and earner of more than $1 million. AlterNation reeled off four consecutive stakes victories.
AlterNation just far too much class for this field.
AlterNation running a powerful race here.
Cannot match strides with AlterNation.
And it's a photo AlterNation.
Great breeding from a family of successful sires, grand appearance, and brilliance on the racetrack. AlterNation at Pin Oak Stud.
This Saturday, the 58th running of the Grade 1 Don Handicap highlights a stellar program at Gulfstream Park, featuring six stakes races, including the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf, the Grade 3 Fred W. Hooper, and the Grade 3 Swanee River. And on February 20th, the ladies-only Girls Got Game contest is back by popular demand. And on March 19th and 20th, you can compete in the Live Money Ultimate Betting Challenge. Visit GulfstreamPark.com to learn more.
A multiple Eclipse champion with more than $6.1 million in earnings.
How about that? Gio Ponte will go back to the winner's circle today.
Gio Ponte's first crop of yearlings were in high demand, while a colt by Gio Ponte topped the first session of the OBS Fall Mix Sale, selling to Conquest Stables after working 3/8 and 33 flat. All of this coming on the heels of his impressive maiden winner, Pirellone, at Belmont Park. Champion Gio Ponte standing at Castleton Lions.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia.
My name is Paco Lopez.
This is Jose Lescano.
This is Jackie Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Three quarters win and one, 12-1. Grand Tito is second. Mishawish waiting for running room. War Correspondent circles up outside of Slumber. Amen Kitten and Lochte are right in at two, and Manchurian High on the outside. They're into the stretch. Golden Rifle, Grand Tito, Slumber on the outside. War Correspondent, Mishawish has got no place to go. And Lochte is right there in between horses. Imagining's trying to squeeze through at the fence. Mishawish got through. Mishawish on the inside gets through. Mishawish up the rail. And on the outside, it was Slumber. The two of them hit the wire together. Mishawish and Slumber, then War Correspondent third.
Larry Colmus with the call of last year's Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap. That was on February 7th, right here at Gulfstream Park. And, of course, Mishawish getting the victory that afternoon. He held on to win by a nose over Slumber. We'll see Mishawish back in action this afternoon in the Grade 1 Don Handicap. The 58th running coming up at 5:53 Eastern. Our coverage here on the network beginning 4 o'clock Eastern time. It's all presented by First Dude, Florida's leading freshman sire who stands at Double Diamond Farm in Ocala. Happy to have them on board. Our thanks to them for making these broadcasts possible. And, of course, everybody who's supporting our Saturdays at Gulfstream coverage. And speaking of leading stud farms, well, this program here, the Equine Forum, presented by our good friends at Lane's End. And when you think about Lane's End, you think about Tonalist, and you think about Mr. Speaker, and Honor Code, and Liam's Map. Well, they reinforce the power of Lane's End Stallions. This 2016 roster really does build on Lane's End's legacies of AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike. And as the new crop joins the ranks of current standing stallions, Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip, the successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues, and it continues at Lane's End. You can visit lanesend.com to learn more. And just another side note there, Lane's End announcing a stallion season auction and a breeder's open house. Now, the open house runs from this morning at 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and it runs over the course of the next 3 days, February 6th to February 9th. The stallion season auction is February 6th, beginning today, and goes through February 10th. So keep that in mind. You can visit lanesend.com to learn more.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you high above the walking ring at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. Pretty nice morning. Temperature is closing in on 70 degrees. Supposed to be up into the mid-70s this afternoon. They are calling for a chance of showers. Those chances increase as we get later in the day. But, Jude, it's one of those deals where we're in South Florida. 50-60% chance, not completely uncommon.
Yeah, well, whenever you're near the Caribbean, you know you're going to get a little shower here or there. But nothing super, super strong today. And hopefully we get the card in, nice, fast track, firm turf course, and it can rain all night if it wants to.
Yeah. Well, a 13-race program coming up this afternoon, and all highlighted by the Grade 1 Don and the Grade 1 Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap. Jude, there's a carryover into the Rainbow Six wager today as well, and then you have guarantees in the late pick 4, which is races 10 through 13, and the late pick 5. Races 9 through 13, so a lot of different wagering opportunities to take advantage of.
Well, it's starting to get that time where the Rainbow Six with a $500,000 carryover is getting to the point where you start thinking about it on a regular basis as a wager, even if you throw a few bucks at it just for fun, but you have to be the only ticket, so it's advisable to leave the chalk off and if you're going to go for the whole pool. Now, there's a consolation that's paid if you have all six winners, but there's multiple tickets, you can still get paid on it. But the idea is to take home the whole enchilada, as they say.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to avoid the chalk in that bet. But it's a lot of money that's been bet into that pool that really is almost considered free money to you if you hit it. So it's interesting when it gets to $500,000. I mean, people rush out for a $500,000 lottery that they have no control over. But
right.
If you play this bet, you know, it's a bet where you have some control over what you pick and what numbers have a good chance. So it's a really interesting wager.
We touched on the contenders in the Don Handicap. We're going to be joined at 8:30 Eastern time by Dale Romans, who settles the morning line favorite, Keen Ice. He's 5-2 on the morning line. I want to talk about the race preceding the Don because it's a co-feature, if you will, both of those grade ones, the Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap, the 30th running, going to go as race number 12 this afternoon. Before we do that, though, Jude, I want to throw out this poll question. I got so excited in the first segment, I forgot to throw out the poll question for this morning. You can tweet us your response at HRRN, and you can hit us up on Facebook, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. I'm going to steal the question that the big A and the little A used on Express Bet Radio yesterday afternoon because it got great response. And we're going to keep it very simple. The horse you think is going to win today's Don Handicap. Really simple. Whichever horse, there's 8 horses, the horse you feel is going to win the Don Handicap, let us know your pick. It's a wide open race with a 5-2 morning line favorite. You can tweet to us at HRRN, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And speaking of Express Bet Radio and the A-Train, we have not mentioned their brand new Twitter page, which people will want to follow. That's at A-Train HRRN.
Yeah, they've already got a great response, and it's been a lot of fun. Hashtag choo-choo.
We need to get that trending. Hashtag choo-choo.
Well, that's...
I used it a couple of times.
Our Acacia Courtney, she's a pistol.
Yeah, yeah. The Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap highlighted by the Pizza Man this afternoon, 4-5 on the morning line. The 7-year-old making his 2015 debut. He has Javier Castellano riding for the very first time.
Yeah, he. I mean, he's an awesome horse. He's been on a roll lately, and looking forward to seeing him run. He's kind of become a favorite of mine ever since he won the Arlington Million. I kind of root for him. It was cool to see an Illinois bred win that race, even though it cost us a bunch of money
yeah.
that day.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's only money, and the rest is history. So it's interesting. I don't know how he's going to handle the ship to Florida and all that. We'll see this afternoon.
Trainer Dale Roman set to join us in just about 6 minutes from right now. He, of course, will talk about Travers winner Keen Ice. But first, it's time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you each and every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
Not much is known about James McLaughlin, the American jockey who won the Travers Stakes 4 times in the late 1800s. but what there is to tell is quite impressive. Born on February 12, 1861, McLaughlin was orphaned in his youth and luckily was taken in by legendary horseman Bill Daly, who taught him how to be a jockey. Although his riding stats are sketchy, records show he began his career in Tennessee in the late 1870s. In 1881, McLaughlin won the Kentucky Derby on Hall of Fame racehorse Hindu, who later that summer would become his first Travers winner. McLaughlin was victorious in the 1885 Preakness aboard Tecumseh and won the Belmont Stakes a record 6 times, a record he shares with Hall of Fame jockey Eddie Arcaro, capturing the now classic event 3 straight years from 1882 to 1884, with Forrester, George Kinney, and Panique, and then 3 straight years from 1886 to 1888, with future Travers winner Inspector B, Hanover, and future Travers winner Sir Dixon. He also won the 1883 Travers aboard Barnes. Despite victories aboard talented horses in several major races, McLaughlin considered Luke Blackburn the best horse he ever rode. Foaled in Tennessee in 1877, the Bay Foal was a $510 purchase named for the then governor of Kentucky. He was acquired by the powerful Dwyer Brothers stable for $2,500 at three and proceeded to win 23 of his next 25 races for Hall of Fame trainer James G. Rowe Sr. McLaughlin was a champion jockey 4 straight years from 1884 through 1887. A master of pace, his legendary rival Snapper Garrison said McLaughlin was the only rider he hated to meet in an important race. So famous in his day, McLaughlin was immortalized on cigarette cards from the 1888 Goodwin Champion set, honoring world-famous sports heroes of the day. Only 4 jockeys were honored in that set: McLaughlin, Isaac Murphy, Snapper Garrison, and Charles Wood. Retiring in 1882, McLaughlin worked for a time as a trainer and a racing official. He died in 1927 and was inducted into the Hall of Fame on its formation in 1955. Quite possibly the best jockey you never heard of, James McLaughlin was certainly a legend of the turf.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Pin Oak Studs, Broken Vow, ranks among the top sires in North America every year. Runners by this outstanding son of Unbridled have earned nearly $54 million and won major stakes on all surfaces from coast to coast. Sought after in the sales ring and hard to catch on the track, Broken Vow consistently has success at the highest level. Broken Vow at Pin Oak Stud.
Game on noon. Trailing Candy to the outside. They are falling down. Final 16. Joined by First Dude to the outside. Game on noon. First Dude. Trailing Candy. Game on noon. And First Dude.
Grade 1 Hollywood Gold Cup winner First Dude earned $1.4 million while defeating many of the top horses of his generation and placing in most of America's best 3-year-old races. Trainer Dale Romans is effusive in his praise for the Double Diamond Farm star.
First Dude was a fabulous racehorse. He was a freight train full of power and all class. From the day he came into the barn, we knew he was going to be one of our best ones.
Transferring his class to the breeding shed, First Dude's progeny earned over $1 million in 6 months, propelling him to the top spot among Florida's freshman sires.
Here comes Floridora trying to run down Skatoosh. Skatoosh trying to get there, but Floridora with the momentum up to do it.
Class on the racetrack, success in the breeding shed, and a value price $7,500 stud fee. First Dude. Visit DoubleDiamondFarm.com.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won Ladies Classic.
Passion.
And Bodie Meister is turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Performance.
And pioneer of the Nile, Derek Dobbin, has won the Santa Anita Derby.
Gainesway Stallion Empire Maker has produced 11 Grade 1 winners, including two-time Breeders' Cup Distaff winner, multiple Eclipse champion, and six-time Grade 1 winner, Royal Delta. Other Grade 1 winners by Empire Maker include Emollient, In Lingerie, Country Star, Mushka, Acoma, Icon Project, Last Full Measure, and Grace Hall. The heir of Mr. Prospector's best classic line, Empire Maker boasts an impeccable pedigree. Out of Broodmare of the Year, Tussaud.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit NicholsonInsurance.com. You gotta know Joe. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, the most expensive yearling from the Great Pioneer of the Nile's debut crop and a top-class juvenile winning the Grade 2 Nashua before his memorable battle with Eclipse champion Honor Code in the Remsen. At 3, Cairo Prince was simply sensational in the Grade 2 Holy Bull Stakes, making him the early book favorite for the Kentucky Derby.
Cairo Prince has run away! Cairo Prince and Luis Saez with an emphatic win in the Holy Bull!
Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince. Think about it.
Hey, it's Corey Lannery. You listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
American Pharaoh has lost the lead at the top of the stretch. Frosted on the outside is now in front, but American Pharaoh is battling on from the inside. He's showing all this fight with one furlong to run. And here on the far outside comes Keen Ice with a late threat. American Pharaoh put away Frosted. He has to deal with Keen Ice. Keen Ice has got him. Keen Ice has won the Travers over American Pharaoh in a dramatic upset. Frosted was third and Upstart was fourth. And a final time of 201.57 seconds. The Graveyard of Champions has claimed another.
Well, one of the great moments of 2015, and Keen Ice, the only horse to defeat Triple Crown winner and Horse of the Year American Pharaoh last year. Boy, that was a tremendous race, and we're going to see if Keen Ice can duplicate that effort this afternoon in the Grade 1 Don. This, of course, a prep for the Dubai World Cup, which is on March 26th. Dale saying earlier this week that it doesn't matter if he wins today or not. More than likely, they're going to head over to Dubai with a horse like Keen Ice, and heck, why not?
Yeah, well, it's a no-brainer with all that money on the line. You got a horse that's a quality horse. You got to take a shot, and we know he can get the mile and a quarter, so it's a easy decision, I think.
He's the pontiff of the pick four, Jude Feld. I'm the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna. We are with you at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida, to kick off our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series, all presented by First Dude, Florida's leading freshman sire, standing at Double Diamond Farm. That coverage kicks off this afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern Time. And Dale Romans, as I mentioned, is going to be with us here momentarily. He has made his way over from the barn area and is with us in person this morning. One of our favorite guests. And usually he's the one who opens these programs for us, but he had to work a little bit this morning, so he couldn't come on at 8 to do that. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. Yeah, I only hijacked it one time. I'm not... Another time might happen sooner or later.
How you doing?
Good. Good. Things are good. Yeah, we were over here watching some horses breeze, so just decided to come by in person.
You ready to roll?
Glad to have you. Sure. Everything's going well.
as we were coming out of our commercial break just a moment ago, Larry Colmus had the call of the Traverse Stakes, one of the great moments, one of the great races of last year. How many times have you gone back and watched that replay?
You know, I've only watched it a couple of times, but it's ingrained. It was ingrained from the first day, that first time it happened. So it was interesting. I always watch my races live. I figured, my father told me a long time ago, you only see them live once. You can watch a replay as many times as you want. But with that one, you couldn't even get through the crowd. It was one of the most electrifying days I was ever involved in.
Yeah.
The walk over from the barn was crazy. I mean, they were 10 deep. You know, they're all there for Farrell, but we joined in the fun, act like they were there for us. So we watched it in the racing office on TV because he couldn't get through the crowd. And I snatched Tammy up and took off running towards the winner's circle and went about 100 yards before I realized I was too out of shape to be carrying a person and running 100 yards. So I almost didn't get to enjoy the whole thing.
A little pumped up, huh? Yeah. I bet you that. How was the crowd afterwards to you? And were people like happy for you, or were they like upset that you beat Farrell?
Well, it was surprising. You know, before the race, Chris Kay at NYRA was, you know, limited the crowd to 50,000. I think it was. I had made the comment, I wanted to thank Chris Cave, and there was only 50,000 that could boo me. And in a joke earlier in a press conference. But after the race, I walked back with the horse. I forgot to go to the trophy presentation or the press conference. So I walked with the horse, and everybody cheered him. And it was a refreshing surprise. Because,
wow.
Yeah, I thought they would be booing him. He beat America's horse. But they respected his performance. And,
yeah,
it was surprising. That's sportsman for you, though.
Yeah, I think the fans at Saratoga are pretty savvy. A lot of them go every year. I mean, they're not just people that decide on a Wednesday, oh, let's go to the races. You know, they're there to go to the races. I mean, that's what Saratoga is all about. So I think they are savvy, and they appreciate. Of course, they've seen a lot of champions get beat before, too, at Saratoga.
It was funny. The actual couple of Saratoga residents came up that night and thanked me. They said, we love our reputation as a graveyard of champions, and so I thought that was pretty cool too.
Yeah, yeah. When you think about the only horse to defeat American Pharoah in that Horse of the Year campaign, that Triple Crown campaign, how important is that? What does that mean when you talk about this horse maybe even moving forward and beyond his racing career?
Well, it shows what he can do. I mean, definitely, and he was just getting better and better. And you know, I'm a big fan of American Pharoah. We're never going to say that we were a better horse than him, but that day we were. And won. And I said, it's, you know, one of the big races in my career, but that's probably the biggest because it's going to be the most historic. Every other race, somebody will win next year, but it's been 40 years since somebody beat a Triple Crown winner at Saratoga.
You know, the thing I loved about Keen Ice and his campaign last year, Dale, we sat here and we watched him in the Holy Bull, and he finished fifth, his only start here at Gulfstream Park. You never lost faith in him. You kept him at those high levels. He ran in, what, six consecutive grade ones to round out last year's campaign. You never lost faith in this horse.
No, he always showed us enough to say we needed to just keep trying. And I never felt like he put all his talent into a race until the Haskell, really. The Derby was a lot better race than people give him credit for. But even like the Belmont when he was third, he hadn't put it all together there. He fell back out of it around the turn and then kind of lost focus and then comes running again and gets up for third. So we just stayed with him and stayed with him and finally he did some great things. And he made a lot of money along the way. It was, you know, everywhere he went, they jacked the purse up for Farrell. So running second, third to him wasn't bad. We owe him a lot of gratitude.
Yeah. I remember at Saratoga, the first day I was there for the meet last year, and I happened to bump into you. You were having lunch down the street from where I was staying, and you said that was like the biggest check you'd ever cashed was in the Haskell because the purse was so huge.
Yeah, it was one of the biggest. It was the biggest second place purse for, you know, well, I don't know, maybe not Breeders' Cup Classic, but it felt like it. And that horse, you know, he just made a lot of money along the way. He's only won two races, and he's made $1.8 million, and he's poised to have a huge year this year.
All right, so look ahead to the Don this afternoon. Take us back through the last couple of months with this horse. What have they been like for him?
You know, we never did stop training on him after the Breeders' Cup because I'd say he's like me. If he lays on the couch for a week, he'll get out of shape. He's such a big, you know, he's a great big old horse and not just that natural athlete that's going to stay fit. So we just kept him in light training and kept him galloping. And the last run of Breezes has been different than last year. I mean, he started last year off where we knew he could do it, but he never really bellied down. And this year he's working, you know, in a minute with no problems, by himself, no company. And those are things we didn't see last year, where he grabbed a bit, just take off, and really enjoying what he's doing.
So he's actually matured in that time off, even though he wasn't, completely at rest. He's mentally come around to where he knows what he's supposed to be doing.
It started in the Haskell. I saw a turn of foot with him that hadn't seen before, where he was a big freight train before. He was just kind of grinding. And in the Haskell, even though Farrell was gearing down, I thought that our horse really accelerated, finished strong, galloped out strong. And he put it together in the Travers. Breeders' Cup wasn't bad. A fourth in there with those horses on a kind of speed bias racetrack. And then the Clark at Churchill, another jump or two, and it was a brilliant ride and a great trip. And he just needed a couple more jumps. But then he came out of that race, and he's trained like a monster.
Yeah, speaking of brilliant rides, you look back to the Travers. Javier Castellano, the only time he ever rode him was in that Travers Stakes victory. He's back aboard here today. So you get the nation's leading rider and Gulfstream's leading rider. Not too bad.
And one of the best of the 21st century. He's a great kid and a great rider, and we're glad to have him.
Do you find that certain riders will fit certain horses better?
Yeah, sometimes. But usually I like to hook into a guy like Corey Lannery. He's been with us for 3 or 4 years now. And it's no knock to him to take him off. It's just the fact that Javier was available and he had already won on the horse. But some horses, especially the biggest races, you get guys that just fit. And Javier's patient. He's won a lot of big races, and he's not having any problems sitting back there until it's time to go.
There's a lot of musical jockeys going on in that race. It seems like everybody's riding a different horse than they rode last time.
It was kind of weird going into it because there were some big name jocks coming by asking what we were going to do that surprised me, and there's a whole shift, but every horse will have a rider.
That's right.
That's one thing we know for sure. Talking with trainer Dale Romans here on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Dale, I mentioned 5-2 favorite on the morning line. Those are the odds on Keen Ice. Outside of your horse, size up the competition for me. Pletcher comes with 3. Bill Mott has one in there. Chad Brown. Look at the competition.
Well, trainers-wise, it's a who's who, right?
Yeah.
Todd's horse that had been running on the grass, Mashawish. He's pretty impressive on the dirt. Was 2-for-2 on the dirt. And I think he's tough, Valid's tough. He's a really good horse. It's just top to bottom, a bunch of good ones. Then there's a couple of them that like Mott's horse, that look like they're on the fringe of breaking through. It's a knockout. They're on the fringe of breaking through into the Grade 1 races.
I read earlier this week in a Gulfstream press release that win or lose today, assuming Keen Ice runs a good race, it's on to Dubai from here.
Yeah, barring any unforeseen things, we'll go on to Dubai and get ready for the World Cup. It worked for Roses and Mago Don World Cup. We'll see if we can do it again.
Well, didn't Lee do that too last year?
Ran
a pretty good race.
He did.
Yeah, it seems like a natural progression.
Yeah, and that 1.25 miles... And Dubai with the long stretch, that should really be good for our horse.
Well, we talked about Keen Ice being a top 3-year-old last year, only horse to defeat American Pharoah. How about this year's 3-year-olds? Who can we look at in terms of the Romans contenders?
Well, the top two right now, of course, are Brody's Cause and Cherry Wine. They're both doing super. And Ma can do it. She's a filly, but she's going to start breezing today. Here in just a few minutes, have her first breeze of the year. And then Unbridled Outlaw. I haven't given up on him. He didn't perform as well in the Breeders' Cup as we expected. He came out with a little bit of an injury. Got him started back after the first year. We'd be pressed for time, but if everything fell into place, you could see him in an allowance race and maybe something like the Arkansas Derby, just to try to get there. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
All right, the heck with all those others. Let's talk a little bit more about Cherry Wine.
Yeah,
tell us
like
everything
cherry
about Cherry Wine.
I love Cherry Wine. Cherry Wine is a unique situation in our barn. I bought his Grand Dam after her first race, and then we took her to what's now my farm and bred her to Unbridled Song and got his mother. And then we took her and bred her to Patio Prado, which we trained and had in the barn, and bought at this Keeneland sale and came up with Cherry Wine. And he's won his last two. The race here was super ultra impressive. I thought everybody's talked about it. He was on the speed, was playing that day, and he came from way back and just looped around and won by 6. And he's a serious racehorse.
Yeah, he looked really, really good that day, and that kind of intrigued me. And, of course, being a Dale Romans fan, it was easy to embrace Cherry Wine. But you're in trouble now because Mike and I drafted him first in the Churchill Downs Press Box Fantasy Contest, so there's a lot of pressure on
him. Yeah, we'd like to apologize.
Well, that was his text I sent you. There's a lot of pressure here, but you got a good horse.
What's next for him?
Probably Fountain of Youth. I mean, that's shaping up to be a super race, it looks like.
Yeah. Know?
But we'll probably go there. I mean, you know how things shift around. I said we pick weekends and not races and on the Derby trail. But in a couple of weeks, he'll show up, most likely Fountain of Youth.
And how about Brody?
Brody's probably going to go Tampa Bay Derby, and he breezes tomorrow again. He's put a string and some good works along. But I'm thinking Tampa, Bluegrass, you know, into the Kentucky Derby.
Dale Roman's here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah, it's nice to be in that position where you have a couple of horses you can go to different races and keep them separated, and hopefully everything comes together on the first Saturday in May.
Yeah, it's an unusual situation. I mean, I've had seven Derby starters, and I think most of them I didn't even know we were going to have until like February. And then to come in with a horse like Brody that always already has a pretty good amount of points and you can kind of sit and pick and choose what you want to do is kind of unusual for us.
Well, these young horses will surprise you, won't they?
Oh, they
even
will.
Even somebody as good as you are.
No, you usually know if they can't run. You don't know how far they can go as they can run. And one day you'll come in and they've just woke up and they're going the right direction. They just start getting better and better.
He's trainer Dale Romans. He's with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He will saddle Keen Ice, the 5-2 morning line favorite in today's Grade 1 Don. Don't forget all of our coverage kicking off 4 o'clock Eastern. The first of 9 consecutive Saturdays will be based right here at Gulfstream in Hallandale Beach. We're trying to follow in the footsteps of Dale Romans.
You guys are doing damn good. I mean, it's amazing how far you come in a short time, and it's great what you all do for horse racing.
Well, I appreciate it, my friend. Your phone's ringing. I know you have work to do, so we won't keep you much longer, but appreciate it, and we'll get together, have a little dinner one night.
Any night you're ready.
You got it on. I just said my treat. It's on tape.
I heard you. We can go tonight. We got one of my favorite riders standing here. You know, Herb McCauley, one of the greats of all time.
This man tried to scoop me up and take me away.
But yeah, I had the nerve to call him before I ever got started. I said, come ride for me at Churchill Downs, please. I need a good rider. He said, who are you?
Thanks, guys.
Herb McCauley coming up 9 o'clock Eastern with us. He'll, of course, be part of our broadcast team throughout these Saturdays at Gulfstream shows, including today with that Grade 1 Don. How much fun is Dale Romans?
Oh, great. It's always great to have him on. And, you know, what I like most about Dale is he tells you just the way it is. There's no hemming and hawing about anything. He knows what he's doing with his horses and how they're feeling and everything. So it's great to listen to him.
And like all of our guests who appear on the program, Dale receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. We'll step away for another break. We'll come back, get you set for hour number 2. And that hour kicks off with Herb McCauley, 9 o'clock Eastern. Stay with us on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay? Along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa. Direct from Washington State, and with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Introducing the Spendthrift for 2016 Pallas, the multiple grade one winning millionaire and fastest son of leading sire City Zip. Pallas proved to be a leading sprinter in North America in 2014 and 2015, winning such New York staples as the grade one Forgo Stakes, grade one Vanderbilt Stakes, and grade two True North Stakes. Pallas is set to retire at season's end to Spendthrift. For more information on Pallas, call us toll free at 888-816-8787. That's 888-816-8787.
The ExpressBet Weekend Stakes Preview Show with Anthony Stabile and Ellis Starr picking winners.
Yeah, and you know what? I like Rodriguez's other horse at 15-1.
Sasakaya.
Here's the wire. Sasakaya got there right on the money.
The ExpressBet Weekend Stakes Preview Show, Fridays 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 220 and XM 206 and streaming live on horseracingradio.net.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Matterhorn on the outside, hard ridden in fourth. At the rail, Albano. Matru is last, and Valid means business today as he turns for home. Braidster fully extended, trying to get to him, but Valid opens up a length with an eighth of a mile to run. Braidster is in second. Matterhorn on the outside, third. Then Albano coming back for more. A 16th to run, and it is Valid in a stellar performance. He's just cruising through the stretch. And Valid wins the Islet. Braidster was second. Matterhorn third. Albano finished fourth.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. A really nice morning in Hallandale Beach, Florida, as we are positioned just above the walking ring here at Gulfstream. If you're wondering where that is, it's just outside of Joker's Wild Bar. That's exactly where we are. Very dangerous situation for the Baron and the Pontiff when it starts heating up a little bit. Well, dangerous right now, actually.
Well, we have Ziggy, our bartender, who always takes care of us out here, makes sure that we have everything we need. He's a very helpful guy and a real personable guy. So if you're out at Gulfstream, stop by and see Ziggy and say hello to us. And we'll love to see you. We love it when people come by.
Yeah, we do. We do. It's a big weekend, not just here at Gulfstream, but out in California as well. Mike Willman, the director of publicity at Santa Anita, will be here to talk to us about some of the big stakes races out there, including Champion Songbird, who goes to the post in the Las Virgenes this afternoon.
Yeah, it looks like she's running against the clock. I mean, she's going to be 1-9 probably, but very, very talented filly and has been training well. So real interesting to see her move forward as she heads towards the Kentucky Oaks. She was not nominated to the Derby. They said they weren't running in the Derby. They were going to try to win the Oaks. And right now I would say she's probably odds on Antipost favorite, yeah, as well for the Kentucky Oaks. Very impressive filly.
And they're going to try and dethrone Bob Baffert and the Robert B. Lewis, but that has not been an easy assignment as of late. Bob winning more runnings of that race than any other trainer in history, and he can say that about a lot of stakes races, but he looks like he's holding a pretty strong hand in this year's renewal.
Yeah, it's kind of a chalk fest out at Santa Anita, really, but you know, Bob's always tough. He's got a couple of horses in there. And it's going to be a good race. More Spirit is going to be the favorite, and probably deservedly so. He's a very accomplished horse. But, you know, the three-year-old picture changes so quickly sometimes that we forget, and it was interesting to hear Dale address that issue about horses surprising you. And sometimes those three-year-olds, the light bulb goes on, they figure out what they're supposed to do, and all of a sudden they pop up with a huge race. So it's something you always have to keep in mind when you're handicapping three-year-old races, especially this early in the year.
I like the way he said you'll know the ones that can't run, right, or something to that effect. How about you when you were training horses? Did you pick up on that pretty quickly?
Well, yeah, I didn't have that many, you know, great quality horses.
You had a lot of them that couldn't run?
I won 24 stakes. I won 7 graded races. So, I mean, I had some good ones. But, you know, you kind of know right away. But the thing that I always loved was when you had one that really never trained good. You never really thought much of the horse, you know. And then they'd go out and run a big race. And that was always, to me, that was really exciting because, you know, here's a horse that's really better than what you thought, you know. And then you can build on that. It's just a horse maybe that was a little lazy or wasn't, you know, wasn't excited about going. Like, not everybody likes to run, right? But in the morning, you know, nobody wants to put on their jogging suit when it's freezing cold and go out there. But in the afternoon when they get competitive, it's a different story. And I always loved horses like that. One of the best horses I ever trained, a filly named Vielvin, who made $500,000. The first time I worked her, Joe Steiner, who's a friend of mine, I gave him his first mount, and he rode a lot of winners for me. And I had Joe work her just to find out, you know, what he thought. And he came back, and I didn't tell him who the horse was or anything. He goes, yeah, you know, she's a nice filly. She'll probably win for like 12-5. And he didn't know that she'd come from Europe and whatever. Right. And because she never was very adept at training. I mean, she would go through the motions kind of. But if you put her in company in the morning, you know, with a next to another horse, then she would put out.
She would
but just
in.
Like working by herself, she felt like a 12-5 claimer, basically. You know, nice sound, but not, you know, nothing special. So it's always good, I think, when a horse works, you know, so and then performs well. I would rather have that than one time I had a horse that Gary Stevens worked, and he worked 3/4 and 11 and 4. He worked 7/8 and 123 flat one morning at San Diego, and Gary comes back and he goes, I think we can win the Kentucky Derby with this horse. Now I'm all pumped up, right? That horse ended up breaking his maiden at Turf Paradise for 5,000 claiming. So, you know, I would much rather have a Vielvin type, obviously, than I would, you know, have a horse that looks like he's all world in the morning, and that's just as good as he can do, you know?
Well, not only is this a gigantic weekend in racing, but it's a huge weekend in sports in general, because tomorrow is Super Bowl Sunday. And even if you aren't going to the big game this weekend, Verizon's $70 million investment in network enhancements is making sure you don't miss a moment of the action. This weekend's game is expected to be the most connected game ever, with more social posts, tweets, and photos shared than ever before. So if you want real-time in-game stats on wireless network performance at Levi's Stadium during Super Bowl 50, follow at Verizon News on Twitter. And, you know, one thing that I'm excited about, Jude, coming up here next Monday, that is going to be, well, I guess 2 Mondays from now, February 15th, is the debut of the Ultimate Derby Poll with Jenny Reese, which is going to debut on our website, horseracingradio.net. For years, I participated in Jenny's poll that she's put together when she was working with Courier Journal. That was called the Original Derby Poll, and it was very, very popular. We are going to bring that concept over to HRN now that Jenny is now retired from the Courier. We will do this and launch it on February 15th. There will be 11 pollsters, you and I included, Jenny included, and a consensus poll. And people can see our top 10, top 20 contenders for the Kentucky Derby all the way from now until the first Saturday in May. And again, that kicks off February 15th on our website, horseracingradio.net.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, and some great people on the panel, including Jeff Siegel from the West Coast, and it's a thing that everybody used to look at in the Courier Journal.
Yeah,
and now it's going to be on our website, and Jenny's going to run the whole thing like she used to. So it's very exciting for us, and really excited to have Jenny on board. She's such a great lady and so knowledgeable about our sport. And 5-time Eclipse Award. Is it 5 now she's got?
Yeah, 5 Eclipse Awards.
Eclipse,
yeah.
Award
that one for the thumb is the one she got this year.
Oh, my.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. She did. Yeah, so looking forward to that. Again, February 16th. And you mentioned even our radio brethren, Steve Bick, is going to participate in the poll. You can see his top 10, his top 20. Handicappers like Jonathan Kinchin, who won the NHC this year. Michael Baychok, who is a National Handicapper of the Year. He's going to participate. So some big-name players, Jim Mulvihill from the NTRA. I know I'm leaving people out as I go through, but you'll see that poll, 11 pollsters coming up on February 15th.
Yeah, already started working on my top 10.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
I got to put them in order. I know the horses I like. I just have to put them in order.
Well, I keep a spreadsheet usually of all the three-year-olds anyway, so
yeah.
It's a little easier for me, but, you know, Get with it. Come on, Baron. This is important stuff here.
It is important stuff.
I'm going to ride your ass this week and make sure you get it done.
One of the beauties of living together for 9 weeks in South Florida.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. We're here. One big happy family.
I can't get away from you. All right. Busy second half of the program coming up. It kicks off with jockey Herb McCauley. That's next. And then Mike Nyman, the Gulfstream Park Director of Marketing at 9:20 Eastern. And he'll be followed by Mike Willman, the Director of Publicity at Santa Anita, toward the end of the program at 9:44. And, of course, we have our Right or Wrong segment, where I'll be joined by the Big A, Anthony Stabile, from up in New York. That segment presented by Sunrise Stallions. It's all coming up next. We're back with hour number two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Songbird is just rolling past the eighth pole, has the lead by six. Rachel Valentina is in second, but there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Stop Charging Maria, short lead. Stellar Wind is fighting on. Stop Charging Maria just keeps battling back. Stop Charging Maria wins the Longines Breeders' Cup Distaff.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, live from Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach, Florida. The beginning of a nine-week broadcast series, brand new for you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. It is Saturdays at Gulfstream. We will be here from now until Saturday, April 2nd, in the Florida Derby. We'll have coverage of every major stakes race in that time, every Saturday anyways, and all that coverage presented by First Dude, Florida's leading freshman sire, standing at Double Diamond Farm over in Ocala. And we are happy to have you back with us here on the program. And JT, going to be a gorgeous day here. A chance of rain, but look, I mean, temperature is going to be great, mid-70s.
Yeah, well, I always look at the sky as opposed to looking at my phone and seeing what the weatherman says.
Yeah, good idea, because I don't know where else you would look.
Well, I don't know.
If you're looking for rain, where else are you going
to
look?
It's crazy. Well, you know, back home in Lexington, not to disparage the weather persons in Lexington, but, you know, they'll say, oh, it's going to be sunny, and you look out the door, and it's pouring down rain, and you go, where are these people? What country are they broadcasting from?
Yeah, our good friend Michael Hernan over at Gainesway sent a text to me just a short time ago, I think maybe the first time we mentioned the weather here, and he said, sunny, crisp, 32 in Lexington, Kentucky.
There you go. Well, Michael, he likes that. He likes it when it's sunny and crisp.
Yes,
just
it's
like
on
him.
Board. Just like Tappan. Just crisp. America's leading sire.
That's right.
Yeah. Herb McCauley is a man who will be with us for our coverage over the next few Saturdays, including today's Don Handicap. He'll make his HRRN debut on our race coverage this afternoon, but he's going to break his maiden with us right now. We welcome Herb McCauley, a man who has ridden more than 3,100 winners in a stellar career. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Thank you very much, Mike. It's good to be here.
Yeah, and happy to have you on board with us this afternoon as well.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. It's a great card, Gulfstream, on these Saturdays that you're covering. I mean, they put a nice card together for all the fans and for the good horses to come to South Florida to winter.
You last rode in, what, 2010, I guess it was, right?
Yes.
So you've been enjoying the good life for a little while.
I have, but it's, as all, I guess, jockeys or real jockeys or top jockeys or just plain racetrackers, trainers, owners, anything. Once you have horses in your blood, it doesn't come out. And that's an old saying, and I don't think it's ever going to go away.
Do you still miss it?
I miss it every day that I wake up. And, you know, just when you see the horses, that makes my day.
Yeah, well, it's always great to come out. And I feel like, you know, when I retired from training, I never was far away from horses. You know, I went to running farms in Kentucky and that type of thing and working at the sales. And I think just being with the animals really, really helps. So do you come out in the mornings and hang out, or how do you get your connection with horses?
I do now. I mean, I went through a spell when I got hurt really bad, and it broke my heart. It took me 3.5 years, 5 hours a day, 5 days a week to walk again. They wanted to amputate my leg, and I wouldn't let them do it. And then another 7 years to walk without a limp. And during that period of time, for about 3 years, it just broke my heart, period. And not to them telling me, you know, I was going to have a problem walking, more or less I would never ride a horse again. And I stayed away from it. When I did, there was such a disconnect in my life that I didn't know what to do. And finally, you know, I got a chance to hook in with the breeders, to actually Triple Crown. That was when Visa, Carl Pescarella, the president, was there, brought me on board to be their head host. And I did that for 3 years in a row, and it just brought out what was left behind. And then I turned around and I did, for Early Times, I did some of their specials. And then it just brought me to the point that I had to show up to the big races. And then it got me to the point that I even had to show up to any race, to the point that I couldn't wait to be on the backside and just watch these horses and see people I've known my whole life.
Are there still times when it's difficult for you to be on the sidelines watching a race as opposed to being a participant?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's like when you ride, you're in the control seat. You're the pilot. You know what's going on, and you know what's going through your head. You know where every jockey is on the track, how they ride, what mannerism usually their horses run in. And, you know, when I'm watching a race and I'm not in control of that or knowing that, I'm like, what is this guy doing? I mean,
I love
hold
that.
It. Hold it. I mean, is that what all these owners do up here? It's just like, what is he doing today? You know, because so many races I won by a neck, head, this and that. And the owners come back, and they're like, Herbie. And I said, don't worry. I had it won by at the half-mile pole. And they said, but you only won by a head or a neck. I said, but guess what? I was in the control panel. And they said, well, if you want me to be your owner anymore and not have a heart attack, win by a length or two next time.
It's great when the shoe's on the other foot.
Owners are never satisfied, but that's such a great line because, Mike and I will be watching races when we're doing broadcasts. We'll be watching races together, and I'll go, what is this guy doing? Just like you said, you just go, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it.
Which, by the way, the next race that you and I ride will be our first.
Well,
so
right.
It's hard to.
But, I mean, I've seen a lot of races. I know. He's seeing it. I try to explain to people, and I used to be, in my younger days, and, of course, being a trainer, I used to be, you know, the biggest jock knocker of all time because, you know, trainers work really hard, and then the jock screws it up, and then they get mad, and it's a continual, you know, thing. But I've learned over the years that, you know, most of them are in the grandstand because you're seeing it from a different angle. When you're in it, it's you're in this pack of horses in this race, and it's a whole different perspective than watching from the grandstand. It's much easier from the grandstand to know where you should go because you're seeing the whole thing from up above, right? But when you're in that three-dimensional thing, it's a whole different kettle of fish.
It's really tough for owners. I can understand that. I mean, as far as a rider, you know how much horse you have up underneath of you. And I think as far as all professionals go, the difference it makes between a rider and a great rider is the fact that you see things in slow motion. I mean, there's no way these guys can knock the baseball out of a park coming at you at 105 miles an hour unless that ball is somewhat coming at them in a slow motion. They're just not swinging at the air. They actually see it come to them in slow motion. I mean, Brady throws a football like, you know, pitchers throw a baseball, and he can throw it to some of his receivers in the end zone, and they can catch it one-handed, two-handed.
That's because but there's less air. So,
yeah, well,
there's less
you know, it depends on ones. It depends on what bowl game it is. But anyway, no, it's like it is a slow motion thing. It's not happening fast. And when you're on good race horses and you're stuck in the pack, and everybody else is like riding and riding, and you're just sitting there like, sitting, cooking, chilling, like, you know, you're on your couch somewhere, you know, and just enjoying the whole scenery. And know that you got a horse up underneath of you. Soon as you sit there and pick him up and put him in the bit and, you know, give him a little urge, he's gonna kick on. And sometimes, you know, you get a little bit worried, especially when you're, you know, the big races and you're 1-5 in there or something like that. You're even kind of knowing that it's a good horse and you can turn him on and off. You give him a little test down the backside, like, guess what, I'm aboard here. And then as soon as he gives you that little tug at the bit, then you know, okay, we're on the same page. I can wait until I get to the quarter pole, find me a spot, and that way there's more of a run home because more races are won in the last quarter of a mile than it is, you know, in the first quarter of a mile.
Visiting with veteran jockey Herb McCauley. He has been retired since 2010, but he's going to join us this afternoon as part of our broadcast team here on the network with our coverage of the Don Handicap beginning 4 o'clock Eastern time. Herb, I spent some time yesterday going back through, and of course there were countless graded stakes that you won in your career, but I spent some time looking at the ones here at Gulfstream Park, and there were a couple of grade ones that jumped out to me. One in particular was the Gulfstream Park Handicap with Devil His Due in 1993, and boy, growing up as a fan of racing in New York, Devil His Due, to me, was one of the best.
He was a wool horse, and it was, you know, it was great. Alan Jerkins, you know, he's up there watching from heaven. I get goosebumps about that. He gave me the biggest compliment in the world. He said, Herbie, he says, you're one of the jockeys that is not just a jockey, you're a horseman. And they asked me to ride Devil His Due down here. And Eddie Maple, he chose to stay in New York to ride Classy Mirage, which was an extremely nice filly, sprint filly he had, in the Cicada up there. So he says, Herbie, I want you to come down and ride the horse. And like you look at the skies, I looked at the weather forecast, and I saw that there's a good possibility of snow in New York. And I was like, well, I can't beat Classy Mirage. Devil His Due is a horse I've been wanting to ride. They wanted me to ride him early in his career, but I was with Thunder Rumble. And I turned around and I said, darn tootin'. And he says, when are you going to be down here? I said, I'll be down 4 days before the races. He says, right. So 3 days before the race, I showed up at the barn in the morning, and I had bagels from Sage Bagels outside of here at Gulfstream for the whole barn and stuff. He says, you're not lying. He says, what do you want? And I said, look at the horse I'm going to win the race on. And he said, yo, all right, you know what you're going to do? And I said, yep. I said, what I always do. And he says, well, the only thing that I know about you is you take no prisoners. And I said, that's right. So when I go around that far turn, you're going to watch them fall one by one.
Wow, great story. Devil Is Due, of course, 1993. Earlier than that, though, you picked up another grade one here at Gulfstream. That was in 84 in the grade one Pan American, a horse by the name of Tons of Run. And you told us before we came on air, there's a great story surrounding that horse in that race.
It was back, they were showing a lot of horse racing, promoting it on ABC, and they had that as part of their program. And it was a very big race back then. And they heard that I could handicap a little bit, and jocks are known to be the worst handicappers in the world, and on some days I believe I might be. But on this day, I was definitely on cue, so they put cameras on me and everything, and they wanted to know how a rider handicapped a race. So I laid out, that's back when they had a racing form that was actually a big, like the New York Times, a big paper, and it folded open, and you could show stuff. So I handicapped the race, and I went through all my circles, my dots. I always had the markers to put different things down that I wanted to look for in the race. I always wanted to know which rider was in the race, his riding style, everything about the horse that was in the race. Knowing that we're going a mile and a half, stumbling at the start and stuff like that didn't really mean that much to me because, you know, we're going a mile and a half. I just needed to know who was going to make moves and who wasn't going to make moves. So anyway, after handicapping the race for, you know, the whole network part of it for my 20 minutes or 30 minutes I was doing it, they turned around and they asked me, okay, now who's going to win the race? I said, I'm going to win the race. And they said, what? And I said, yeah, I'm going to win the race. This horse should finish second. This horse should finish third. It turned out that way. And after the race, they came back to me and they interviewed me. And they said, you didn't tell us you were going to put him on the front end the whole way. And here's this horse that's always come from off the pace. I said, because guess what? There's no other speed in the race. So I decided to be it today.
And that horse paid?
He paid $120-some, I think.
Woo! Wow.
And those were in the days before you could bet on ExpressBet or TVG or any of that stuff. So
yeah.
A lot of people probably sad they weren't at Gulfstream that day.
Well, they had the systems that they had today and all the great betting systems that they do that's not on the racetrack. I love it when it was at the racetrack because you had a lot more people show up. But if that was over ABC News and or at ABC Sports, and they didn't take a little hint from me from that, then shame on them.
Yeah.
Do you still handicap races today? Like, do you like to bet? Do you like to come out to the track? And
what I like to do is a lot of people, they ask me. I'm not a big gambler anymore, and because I like casinos, and I found out that casinos like my money more than apparently I wanted them to. So, no, I'm not a big gambler. But what I do is when I handicap races, at this point since I'm retired, I look at a race of who I would like to ride in the race. And that gives me – I look at it on the aspect of, yes, I look at owner-trainer combinations and stuff like that. But I really like looking at, you know, if somebody gave me a choice, who would I like to ride? And if I couldn't ride that horse, which one do I think that I could ride that I could beat the favorite with? And that's my angle of it.
Which horse would you ride in the Don today if you were to pick one?
If I was to pick one today, this is going to be, I think, a two-level type race where there's going to be a set of speed horses in here and a couple of horses that are going to come off the pace. And then, you know, Keen Ice, he's coming off the race. He is the class of the race. I feel that Chad Brown, you know, he's going to go with this horse, Financial Modeling. It's a knockout. It's going to be right there. And, you know, Luis Saez, he's known for a speed rider. He's going for it. And, you know, I'm looking for something that can sit right off the pace and go for it. And Mexiclamita, the number 5 horse, you know, looks good. But there's something about the fact of Johnny Velasquez being 7-2 with Todd Pletcher. Even though this is a turf horse and, you know, he won here going a mile and eighth, it was on the turf. And it's going to be different on the dirt. But he could be an upset shot. And people say, well, a lot of people are going to say, well, there's no way Dale Romans is going to take Keen Ice and have him cranked up before he goes to Dubai and run. I do not know any trainer in America that's going to sit there and run in a grade one race for $500,000 and not have his horse cranked up ready to run.
Yeah, he'll be ready. He'll be ready. So, Mishawish, if you were to pick one today, would that be the one you choose, like Johnny?
You know, that is my, you know, kind of my pick for a long shot pick, yes, because I think a lot of money's going to go on Keen Ice, and it should. And he's the value horse. He's not a value horse, I don't think, if he's going to be that price. So if I'm looking for something, I'm looking for something that other people might walk away from. And this horse, you know, he's a fighter. He stays right with the pace. And if you look at his buyer numbers, they're steady the last 4 races in a row.
Well, Herb McCauley looks like he could still get a leg up this afternoon and ride Mishawish or anybody else, and you'd be a fool to bet against him if that was the case. And looking forward to giving you a leg up on our coverage beginning at 4 o'clock, my friend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Look forward to it. Welcome to the team.
Thank you very much. And this is great. And I look forward to this afternoon and many afternoons with you.
Jockey Herb McCauley here on HRN, the Equine Forum, all presented by Lane's End. Mike Nyman, the Director of Marketing at Gulfstream, is going to tell you about a massive day of racing, and we'll look ahead to the rest of this championship meet. We'll do that coming up in just about 4 or 5 minutes from right now, but it is time for your Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. El Nino could present Triple Crown Challenge. You don't have to spend much time in Southern California to find out. Precipitation is a pretty big deal in the region. When the rains come, local broadcasts lead with the breaking news. When it doesn't rain for a long period of time, see the last 4 years or so, the lack of water leads to a legitimate crisis. The expected upcoming El Nino cycle, when warm sea temperatures in the Pacific can often lead to heavy rainfall on the West Coast, is a godsend for the region this winter. But for horsemen at Santa Anita, specifically those training Triple Crown hopefuls, it could be quite a hindrance. And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. Don't forget to follow Blood Horse Daily, briefing you, I can actually say that, on important breeding, racing, and sales news. Sign up to have a PDF emailed to you in a daily newsletter or download the app on your smartphone today. It's all there, bloodhorse.com/daily. All right, just a couple minutes away from Mike Nyman. He'll slide into the chair next. We're back with more on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Power.
Royal Delta, my Miss Aurelia, here is a champion again. Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
He's turning the Arkansas Derby into an absolute romp.
Performance.
And pioneer of the Nile and Gary Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Gainesway Stallion Empire Maker has produced 11 Grade 1 winners, including two-time Breeders' Cup Distaff winner, multiple Eclipse champion, and six-time Grade 1 winner, Royal Delta. Other Grade 1 winners by Empire Maker include Emollient, In Lingerie, Country Star, Mushka, Acoma, Icon Project, Last Full Measure, and Grace Hall. The heir of Mr. Prospector's best classic line, Empire Maker boasts an impeccable pedigree. Out of Broodmare of the Year, Tussauds.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
And they're off to New York. The premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Grade 1 millionaire Cowboy Cow is leading the third crop sire by two-year-old winners with a dozen juvenile winners already this year. His runners have earned nearly $2 million, and his sires a greater percentage of winners than nearly any other stallion in his crop, including Pioneer of the Nile. Cowboy Cow, a grand-looking son of Giant's Causeway, standing at Penn Oak Stud.
First Samurai is America's best sire son of champion Giant's Causeway. Already the sire of a champion, First Samurai has Grade 1 winners on both coasts.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
As well as graded stakes horses around the country.
And Lee has won the Dawn under Joel Rosario.
Get happy, mister, in front. Get happy, mister, has won it.
First Samurai, a proven sire of quality at Claiborne Farm.
Make plans to be at Santa Anita today as undefeated Eclipse champion Filly Songbird is scheduled to make her three-year-old debut in the Grade 2 Lost Virginia Stakes, and Bob Baffert's highly regarded Moor Spirit is scheduled to make his three-year-old debut in today's Grade 2 Robert B. Lewis Stakes, an important stepping stone to the Santa Anita Derby in April. Santa Anita has the biggest betting pools in the country with $500,000 guaranteed in the late pick four each weekend and $300,000 guaranteed in the late four each weekday. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Every industry has a way to compare quality. The benchmark in the thoroughbred industry has always been Grade 1 winners, and no other active sire in North America has had more success than Giant's Causeway. His Grade 1 supremacy continues with stars like Brody's Cause.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run.
Giant's Causeway. Standing at Coolmore America, home of champions.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And with an eighth of a mile to go, Catherine Sophia has taken charge, and it just doesn't matter what happened earlier in this race because she's much the best.
Catherine Sophia was once again ultra impressive in winning the Grade 2 Forward Gale Stakes at Gulfstream this past Saturday. Despite getting off to a slow beginning, the daughter of Darley Stallion Street Boss dominated her rivals, running her record to an unblemished 3-for-3 and putting herself solidly on the Kentucky Oaks Trail. Catherine Sophia's brilliant effort in the Grade 2 Forward Gale makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Street Boss, the fastest son of the Great Street Cry, has produced Grade 1 winners Capo Bastone and Danza from his first two crops. His 15 black type horses in 2015 are more than all other stallions, standing for under 20,000. To learn more about Street Boss and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They turn for home. Shining Copper with 3/16 to go. Shining Copper leads by a length. Shining Copper here's up with the birds coming up the fence. The Pizza Man finishing now. Big Blue Kitten charging on the outside. The Pizza Man has taken the lead. The Pizza Man on the outside. Big Blue Kitten. Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois bred. The Pizza Man just won the Arlington Million under Florent Giroux. Blue Kitten was second, and Shining Copper finished third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld. We are high above the walking ring at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach as we begin our Saturdays at Gulfstream broadcast series. We'll cover major stakes races every Saturday from now through the Florida Derby here in this championship meet, and happy to have you with us here this morning and joining us throughout our coverage, which kicks off this afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern. That coverage of the Don Handicap also includes the Gulfstream Park Turf Handicap and the Pizza Man. John Dooley just had the call of last year's Arlington Million. The Pizza Man making his 7-year-old debut this afternoon right here in Hallandale Beach, Florida. And I can tell you this, none of this coverage will be possible over the course of the next 9 weeks without the support and the help of Mike Nyman, who is the Director of Marketing here at Gulfstream. You've heard him on the program before. He's back with us again this morning. And Mike, first and foremost, thank you for everything. We are thrilled to be here to do this for you.
Great to have you guys here as always. And it's another going to be another great racing day here at the Gulfstream Park and Don Handicap. And as you mentioned, the other stake races, I think we got about $1.25 million in stakes today. So another great card put on by our great racing office with PJ Campo.
Yeah, and a couple of major guarantees, too. The pick four, the late pick four, guaranteed at $350,000. That begins in race number 10. The late pick five, which starts in race number 9, guaranteed at $250,000. So some great wagering opportunities. And then you throw in the carryover in the Rainbow Six.
Yeah, the carryover is now over $400,000. Climbing its way up to a half a million, so we'll see it continue to grow, and some lucky customer walk away as usual with a big score.
Yeah, this is the kind of carryover where people really start paying attention. I mean, it's getting up there to lottery numbers, you know. So it's one of those things where if you're coming out to the track, you definitely want to throw a couple bucks at that, and maybe, you know, take home a half a million dollars.
No doubt about it. And if you would have looked at our handle here the last 3 days on weekdays, Wednesdays, Thursday, and Friday, that we tracked it over $8 million each day the last couple of days, and a lot to do with that carryover.
Yeah, and what kind of crowd are you expecting today?
We probably get somewhere close to 10,000 people here today.
Nice.
Yeah, we've been, on our big days, we're pretty much sold out here. The place is packed, and it's a great day. And what's been really encouraging over the last few years, the crowd's coming earlier and earlier. So the handles on our early races have really picked up, and I think part of it is we've added that early pick five, that 50-cent pick five, to the wagering menu, and naturally that gets people, you know, a good reason to get started on the first race. We all remember in the old day, we all had to be here for the first race. Why? Because it was the daily double. There wasn't a lot of exotic bets.
Yeah.
That was something you wanted to try to catch right away. So this is another way to get people, you know, get them started and getting them interested in the card early.
Yeah, and pick five wagering has become so popular. I guess people feel it's a tad easier than hitting the pick six, and They can afford to play a bigger ticket because you don't have that extra race to multiply your bets by. And I know I have friends all over the country. That's pretty much all they play now is pick fives.
I know, you know, you find that you talk to a lot of the players and everybody has a different strategy. And I think it really comes down to the difference between people that, you know, play lateral, play horizontally or play vertically. I find the people that play the pick fives and they're also playing the pick four and the pick six. Or you find those players who just want to focus in on an individual race and, you know, chase down the exactas, the triples, and the supers.
Mike, I can remember when we first started coming here, we were talking about this at the top of the program. It was 2006 was our first broadcast from Gulfstream, the Don Handicap that year. And Gulfstream had been remodeled. And this whole complex where you see shops and restaurants now was nothing but an erector set. It was nothing but steel and a little bit of concrete here and there. Now to see the vision and your vision with the marketing side of things here at Gulfstream, it's all just kind of come together.
It's amazing. I've spent over five years here now, and time has gone really quick. And, when I started here, as a lot of people remember, after the Magna Public Company had gone bankrupt and then Frank had taken everything back privately, we had a big job in front of us, and the first thing that Frank did was put Tim Ritvo here as president of Gulfstream Park, and he's just basically led the way. Everything has totally changed here in racing. I think Gulfstream Park proves that racing is not dead. I've said all along, in an industry that can generate $10 billion a year in handle, certainly should be a viable business, and I think we're starting to see that, and I think we're showing the way. It's like I was telling some people the other day from the casino, you know, you go around a lot of tracks around the country, the racinos, it's the casino and then racing. Here it's the other way around. Racing carries the casino. Our casino's best days here at Gulfstream Park on our biggest racing days. Our top 20 coin-in days in our casino have been on major racing days, Florida Derby, Fountain of Youth today, for instance. So it's great that racing is really at the forefront and not taking the back seat like it's had in a lot of other places in the country. And I think we've shown that, you know, you put out a good product, good racing, you know, you give the fans what they want, and people will be attracted to it, and that's proven. And the facility itself, I mean, we've talked about it, you know, so many times, you know, over the years. Now we've been able to, you know, when this whole idea of ripping down the track and people said, this is crazy, everybody's going now that I talk to, wow, this was really an amazing thing that he did, because it's brought so many different types of people here to the racetrack now. So the mix of men, women, young, older, it's incredible, and it's really changed. And the great thing is they've allowed me to market. One of the things I told them when I came here is I really felt that the industry itself was too focused on today and not really looking ahead like most companies that will have a 3 or 5 year plan. They really didn't have that. And I told them at the time that you needed to engage younger people, and we have to get these generations that we lost, and it's going to cost some money now to do that, but it's an investment in the future. And I think you see that now with these breakfasts we have here every Saturday, all the kids that come and the families. And so, you know, when they're older and they're looking to spend a few bucks on entertainment, gambling, they'll know Gulfstream Park. It won't be something that's not on their radar. I talk to a lot of young people, and, you know, this all passed them by. So we're trying to bring that back and, you know, at the same time, take care of our current customers and give them a great experience and start to attract new fans.
You know, we hear that a lot, right? Trying to attract new fans and a younger demographic to racing. And I think as an industry as a whole, that's a very big key, not just here at Gulfstream. What's the key to doing that, Mike?
As far as
attracting younger, marketing, well, to a younger audience?
It's a lot of different things, but what we do here is in the marketing is I really look at it in two pieces. One, I look at my regular customers, the choir, the people we're talking to here on the radio, the ones that I'll advertise through the core racing sites. The local marketing, I give them more of an experience of a great day, of having fun, someplace you want to be. And, you know, we push things like free parking and free admission, free seating, so it doesn't really cost you much here. The young people love, we have, except on our big race days, we have $2 beer and wine. That's a big play. You see a lot of young people that hang around the bars, you know, bet a few dollars during the day and have a nice afternoon out here. So we do a lot of different things to try to attract different customers. We've been very successful bringing in a lot of women. We held our first Girls Got Game tournament which was a ladies handicapping contest we did in the summer. I think we had about 86 or 88 women for that. We're having it again in a couple of weeks. We're going to have over 100 women for that. If it's something, you're in the area, you're going to be, if you're here, you're out of town, down in South Florida, or you live here, it's something you should really want to do. And if it's a, it's one of you guys out there that your wife may come to you the track, maybe she's the one sitting reading a book while you're playing, it's something to get her involved in that day. It's a very simple contest. We keep it really basic. Includes lunch. We have speakers. It's a great day. So these are the kind of things that we've tried to engage in so many different pieces of the pie to make it all work.
Yeah, it's so expensive to go to a sporting event now, like a basketball game or a football game. Tickets are astronomical. You can come to Gulfstream, get it, park for free, get in for free. If you go have the $2 beer and wine or whatever, you can actually, you know, make it a date day. You know, and have a great time for not much money, which is a really, really super thing, you know, for you guys, for horse racing. The other thing I think that the young people like is the fact that this place is open 24 hours, pretty much. There's always something going on here. I know, I'm a geezer, but I love it. I love the fact that, you know, after we're done, there's tons of people walking around. Some people are playing simulcasting. Some people are in the casino. Some are having dinner at the great restaurants here. There's a lot of action. The kids are out in the little play area having fun. Their parents are, you know, buying them ice cream cones. I mean, there's just so many things to do here, and you can do it, like, all day and all night. It's awesome. And then the fountains are beautiful. The Gulfstream at night is spectacular. It's a beautiful venue.
Yeah, you're 100% right, and that's one of the big advantages we have against all the other gambling establishments, where we will do attract families. As you mentioned, out here in the village, Friday nights we have family fun nights. Saturday night we have free concerts. We have venues in here such as bowling. They're building movie theaters here in the next couple of months, these high-end IPIC theaters. We've got a kids club. So there's a lot of things here, you know, for the families to enjoy. And this place in South Florida now is becoming known as not only a destination for gaming, but for events. We get 20,000, 25,000 people out here on New Year's Eve, on July 4th, and we make them real family-type events. So there's always something, like you mentioned, going on here from morning, noon, and night. I mean, this is a racetrack that lives and breathes 12 months a year.
Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing at Gulfstream, joining us here on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, I can't let you go before I put you on the spot. You're not only a marketing guy, you're a horseman. You've been a horse owner, you've been a breeder, you've been in the game. Who wins today's Don Handicap?
Now you definitely are putting me on the spot. Because I have to tell you, I've been so busy in preparation and everything, I haven't even had a chance.
Feeling.
The racing form is sitting on my desk, and when I go back up to my office, I was going to look it out. But to give something out now, I would be totally in the blind.
He has a fiduciary responsibility to the listeners.
Yes, that's exactly right.
But the thing that's funny is that you played the pizza man before who's racing here today, and I kind of thought when I was listening to the call, it was a great call, by the way, that nobody has ever named the horse Pizza Man before, that it took this long.
Yeah. Yeah, you would think
somebody
would have been done long before.
The way the pizza businesses have gone in this country in the last, you know, 10, 15 years.
Well, Mike, we appreciate everything, all your support. You're going to be with us every Saturday here over the course of the next 9 weeks, so looking forward to the visit. We'll have updates for people as to what's happening each and every weekend, and we'll look ahead to the rest of the meet as well.
And I just want to tell your listeners, if you're ever down here and you're at Gulfstream, there's anything you need, just ask for me, and I'll be glad to help you and show you around and make Gulfstream feel like your home.
He's the best. Mike Nyman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to get to another break. We will come back and get you set for our final interview of the morning. We'll head out to California and talk with Mike Willman from Santa Anita. We'll talk about their big day and, of course, our Right or Wrong segment presented by Sunrise Stallions. It's all next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events.
Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich is Ed speaking.
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care. Just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy John's.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy John's.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than two guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy John's. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you know...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy John's.
Come in.
Sir, did you...
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know you're...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Jock Talk, an intimate, in-depth discussion with the best jockeys in thoroughbred racing.
Well, you know, it's funny, Randy, when you ask a lot of people the best rider that they've ever seen, you're going to have a lot of people who are going to say Randy Romero. So let me ask you, who does Randy Romero think is the best jockey that you've ever seen?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think there's such a best. On every given day, somebody can beat you. I think you can be one of the best. As far as being the best, I can't. Because I there's three riders that I think that were tops. Angel Cordero, Jerry Bailey, you know?
Yep.
And myself.
Jock Talk, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 220 XM 206 and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
More Spirit has a lot of ground to make up, but he starts to kick in now. Inside the quarter pole, Frank Conversation, Taves on Icer head and head. Taves on Icer, narrow lead. More Spirit finding his best stride, has to get to his stablemate, Taves on Ice. Taves on Ice and More Spirit. More Spirit gets a left-handed reminder from Gary Stevens, right up alongside of Taves on Ice, and More Spirit takes over coming past the wire. It will be More Spirit to win the Los Alamitos Futurity by a length and a half. Taves on Ice was second. I'm already there up for third, then Urlacher.
Frank Miramonte with the call of the Los Al Futurity. More Spirit getting the victory that day. He is back in action this afternoon at Santa Anita in the Robert B. Lewis Stakes. Of course, trained by Hall of Famer Bob Baffert. We're going to visit with Mike Willman from Santa Anita coming up in just 4 or 5 minutes from right now. Mike Pena, Jude Feld, back with you at Gulfstream Park. Want to remind you that Tonalist, Mr. Speaker, Honor Code, and Liam's Map reinforce the power of Lane's End Stallions. The 2016 roster builds on Lane's End's legacies, AP Indy, King Mambo, and Smart Strike. As the new crop joins the ranks of current standing stallions, Candy Ride, Lemon Drop Kid, Mineshaft, The Factor, Union Rags, Noble Mission, and City Zip, the successful tradition of the 13-time leading stud farm continues, and it continues at Lane's End. You can visit lanesend.com. to learn more. Well, I mentioned that our Saturdays at Gulfstream race coverage kicks off this afternoon at 4 o'clock Eastern. That coverage presented by First Dude standing at Double Diamond Farm over in Ocala. Our coverage of the Florida Derby on Saturday, April 2nd, will be presented by Big Brown, who stands at Sunrise Stallions in New York. And that means it's time now for our weekly segment, Right or Wrong, which is indeed presented by Sunrise Stallions.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
And joined, as I always am, by the Big A, Anthony Stabile up in New York. Big A, here we go. The first of two questions this morning. Rick Porter of Fox Hill Farm stayed true to his word and did not nominate 2-year-old filly champ Songbird to the Triple Crown. This was the correct decision, my friend. Right or wrong?
You know what, Mike? I think it's the right decision. She is my favorite horse in training, and I am completely enamored with this filly. But after what happened with Eight Bells, he's the only one, he being Rick Porter, who gets the base on balls for this. I like the way he stuck to his guns and did not nominate her. He'll fight the urge. Hopefully we see her later on in the year. I think it was the right decision.
Well, I think it's the right decision. I don't think it had anything to do with looking back on Eight Bells. I just think that the fact that Songbird is going to be, what, 1-9 if she continues to progress and she makes it to the Kentucky Oaks, she's going to be a prohibitive favorite there. She looks like she's head and shoulders above all the other three-year-old fillies in the country. At least she did as a two-year-old. Now, we know that changes when horses mature in their three-year-old season. But to me, I think you take the sure money, so to speak, and if all things progress and all things being equal, she comes to Kentucky for the Kentucky Oaks, she'll be a prohibitive favorite. Why not? I think it's the right move, and it's a much better spot. You put your horses where they can win.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, number two, with California Chrome and Frosted already in the desert, the Dubai World Cup winner is already in Dubai. Right or wrong?
I'm going to say that's right also. Frosted looked fantastic Thursday morning, winning the round two challenge. Chrome's getting ready to run at the end of the month in the third round of the Maktoum Challenge. And then, of course, you have my old friend, Mook Taiji. And I know he didn't run well on the fire break on Thursday, but trainer Mike DeCock said that was not his best distance. Basically said he was giving him a race. Soumian never went to the whip. I'm ready for Mouptage to move forward. I say the winner of the Dubai World Cup's already in the desert.
Yeah, you know, with the Dubai World Cup shifting back to conventional dirt, if you want to look at it like that, from a synthetic surface, it really does set up well for the American runners. And to me, California Chrome, as well as Frosted, ran the other day, and he was brilliant. He got a really nice trip that day. Take nothing away from him, but I think California Chrome is undoubtedly the horse to beat. With him already being there, getting acclimated, getting a start over the track, look, this is a horse that is undoubtedly the one to beat in the Dubai World Cup, so I'm going to have to agree and say, yeah, the Dubai World Cup winner is already in the UAE.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
And it is Right or Wrong, presented by Sunrise Stallions, home to Big Brown, Frost Giant, and his full brother, Heavy Breathing. You can learn more by visiting sunrisestallions.com. And, of course, Big A will encourage people to catch you every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon with the Little A on Express Bet Radio here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And, of course, on the Express Bet Weekend Stakes Preview with Ellis Starr every Friday afternoon.
Yeah, we're having a great time on Express Bet Radio, and for you people in the Twitterverse out there, we just started our own handle. It's at A-Train, H-R-R-N, so you can follow everything going on Express Bet Radio. It's at A-Train, H-R-R-N. Go give us a follow. I promise it's nice and cleaned up. Acacia runs it most of the time, so you don't have to hear my snarky remarks.
Choo-choo!
Hashtag choo-choo, my friend. Appreciate
it, Big
A.
Next week.
All right, you got it. All right, we're back to visit with Mike Willman from Santa Anita right after this word from Sunrise Stallions.
And Dortmund, another superb performance. And Coach Inch did it by a neck.
Big Brown, the only New York Stallion to produce Grade 1 and Grade 2 winners in 2015. The leading New York Stallion earner with 2015 runners winning over $5 million. And the only New York Stallion to supply a Kentucky Derby place son. Big Brown, standing at Duchess View Farm. Contact Eric Bishop, eric@sunrisestallions.com.
Baron and Pontiff getting set to take you down the road to the Kentucky Derby. Of course, this segment now going to be presented by Gainsway at the end of the program each and every Saturday. Of course, Gainsway, home to America's leading sire, Tappet, who has been so brilliant. He, of course, is the sire of Mohe Men, who, Jude, you would agree, couldn't have been any more impressive in winning the Holy Bowl last weekend.
Yeah, he's really a nice horse. He seems like the real deal. Very excited about him. I've been watching him for a long time, and Kieran really, really likes him. That's a big plus because he's a very sharp guy.
Yeah, a very sharp guy indeed. And, of course, if anybody is going to beat Mohe Men, they're going to start proving that they can be quite as brilliant. And The Robert B. Lewis Stakes at Santa Anita today is an opportunity for some of the three-year-olds on the West Coast to put their best foot forward, and we're going to see Moore Spirit, who is going to be the morning line favorite and the likely post-time favorite under Gary Stevens for Bob Baffert.
Yeah, Moore Spirit's a very talented horse, and maybe Baffert's leading horse going into this Derby season, so it's going to be fun to watch him run. It's an interesting race because there's a lot of question marks in it, and it'll be interesting to see who answers those questions this afternoon.
Well, Mike Willman, the director of publicity at Santa Anita, is with us now. Mike, big day of racing. Appreciate you taking a few minutes.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, it is, and we got a little pick six carryover to kick things off with the Lewis's leg one, the fourth race on a nine race card. We anticipate that total pick six pool is going to be right around 400,000 by fourth race post time, and I think a lot of people, you know, they're going to be singling Moore Spirit and then Songbird and the Lost Virginess. So, you know, sometimes that makes the money gush in, even though you don't have the field size that you think, ideally you should have. Sometimes when people get it in their head, it's a five or a four, they really dig deeper. So we're encouraged about the pick six today, and obviously the racing, at least on paper, kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah, well, if you get those two chalks, it really turns it into a pick four, and you spend a little bit more money than you would think. I mean, if you think those two horses, Moore Spirit and Songbird, are absolute locks, then whatever money you'd put in the pick four, you could put in the pick six and maybe give it a little boost.
Well, Jude, send me a couple hundred. I'm down with Songbird, but as for Moore Spirit, I'm going to have a tough time singling him on any kind of a big ticket. He's a very, very good horse, and I thought he was most impressive at Los Alamitos, you know, back in mid-December. But I'll tell you what, Jerry Hollendorfer has a horse here by Roman Ruler stretching out for the first time, and he got the attention of our line maker, John White. He's got him 5-2 second choice. It's only his third start, first time long. I will score. I was impressed first time, number one, when I saw Mike Smith on enough of them to go down to Los Alamitos on September 11th after that long slog at Del Mar. You know, a lot of the top riders, they want to kind of take a little time off and jet set around the country on weekends and ride in graded stakes. But when he showed up there for the first out maiden win, that caught my eye. And then he came back here on January 3rd and was most impressive in his second start. He's been heavily favored both times, and he's got a lot of upside, in my opinion.
Yeah, a lot of times those subtleties, you know, when you're looking at horses on the Derby trail and heading down the road, you see little things like that, like Mike Smith sticking around to ride a maiden. You know, it does pick up your head, and it makes you think there must be a lot of high hopes for this particular horse. And that's something that guys like you and I that have been around the game a while, we kind of enjoy looking for those subtleties.
Well, in this case, it kind of tells you that Smith either got on the horse at Del Mar or he was out there and saw this horse Breeze and said to himself, hey, I think we better try and stay kind of close to him. I mean, it's just the way it goes. But it's a good race. Looking forward to it. I know Gary Stevens is very high on Moore Spirit, and what a story that would be. You know, he won his first Kentucky Derby in 88 and came back, with Thunder Gulch and Silver Charm. He's looking for his fourth here at this advanced stage of his life and career. So the Derby's always fun and really looking forward to it. And, you know, you got a horse coming out of San Luis Rey named Dresden Hermes, who, you know, I don't blame them. They know he's a better horse on turf, but that they're going to take this one swing and just see. And then Gary Sherlock on the outside, he's got a horse who's going long for the first time, and he's a couple of necks away from being undefeated in three starts. So Moore Spirit's going to have to run here, Jude.
Well, it's been almost impossible to beat Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert in this race over the years. He's seeking an unprecedented sixth win in the Robert B. Lewis and his third in the last four runnings. Mike, how about the other Baffert, Let's Meet in Rio, who breaks from the inside post position, second last time out in the Sham?
I don't see why he couldn't improve a great deal. And you like the fact that he's got two consecutive miles under his belt. He broke his maiden two back at that distance. And you know, I don't think the screws were tightened down all that hard here for the Sham on January 9th. And this is a big client in the making, hopefully, for Bob Baffert. It's a Judmont Farm homebred. And I think there's plenty of upside here at 6-1. I really do.
Yeah, you got to think Baffert would love to win the Kentucky Derby for the Prince. That would be, you know, a huge feather in his cap and probably what you would call job security.
Yeah, like he needs it. he gets Mike any Willman. More feathers in that cap, we're going to dress him down for Thanksgiving. I mean, my gosh, talk about just an embarrassment of riches. But the guy is absolutely produced. By the way, he hit Radio Row the other day with a Super Bowl. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, that was cool, but we kind of got to take a little credit for it because he's kind of become a radio star. It's funny, he'll see a mic empty and he'll come sit with us, and we really enjoy that. We had a great interview with him at the Saratoga Phasic Tipton sale when he really didn't want to talk to anybody. That he was kind of being swamped, so he just grabbed a headset and sat down with us for a half an hour, and it was like we were having dinner somewhere or just shooting the breeze. It was a fantastic experience for us, and our listeners really enjoyed it.
Well, he's become a lot more accessible, and I think you could say grounded. Life changes everybody. He's been through a lot, and from my standpoint as director of publicity at Santa Anita, he's really been great to work with. I just wish some of his 3-year-olds would stay home a little bit more often, but that's the way it goes, you know.
Talking with Mike Willman, the director of publicity at Santa Anita here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike, outside of the 2 3-year-old races today, you have a pair of grade twos, the older horses in the spotlight with the grade two San Antonio and the grade two San Marcos. What can you tell me about those two races?
Well, you know, the San Antonio was bumped to $500,000 last year, and we got Shared Belief in California Chrome in there, and we called it the Invitational because we didn't have any fees to run or nominate or anything else that helped get those horses in there, and it turned out to be the race of the meet. We don't have that kind of star quality this year. We were hoping to have Baffert's Dortmund in there, but he's just not real happy with where he's at this point in time. We're still holding out hope that maybe he'll be able to make the Santa Anita handicap in early March. That said, it's a good betting race. You hear that a lot, but you look at these horses. Doug O'Neill has one who's going first time for him, coming in from Delaware Park, and he's got a very, very good form. Baffert also has Cat Burglar, who comes off a third condition allowance win. I don't know about you guys. At this point in time, I kind of seen enough of opportunity, but take a look at the horses on his form. Pretty impressive. He's faced the best. Third, beaten 2 1/4 lengths here, going a mile and a 16th in the San Pasquale by California Chrome, and Imperative was second. And, he makes his fifth start today for high percentage Richie Baltus, and justifiably he is the favorite on the morning line. Mike Smith takes over for the first time today, and I know Baltus feels good about where he's at with this horse. And, of course, he made his mark by winning that big race at Charlestown after being a $50,000 claim a couple of years ago for George Papadromo. But the owners and him have since parted company, and so here he is with Baltus. A lot of people are kind of on the John Terranova, El Khyber bandwagon. He comes out of the Malibu here, where kind of an even effort in behind the best sprinter in the country and Run Happy, and he's stretching out. He should definitely be forwardly placed with Gary Stevens. In a tough call, I think I'm going to maybe go with the new face for O'Neill coming in from Delaware.
Mike, only about 60 seconds left here before we have to wrap up and get ready to wrap up the program here this morning. What other things do you want people to know about Santa Anita and this program here today, and maybe even what's coming up this meet?
Well, I think it's important people know that right now we've got the biggest betting pools in the country, and our chairman, Joe Morris, has been very aggressive on that. And even with some inclement weather a couple of weeks ago, we pressed on with the guarantees. We've got a $500,000 guarantee today in the late pick four, and the $150,000 guarantee in the pick six, kind of a moot point due to the carryover. But I think the carryover with the pick six really makes it worth playing, especially in view of the fact, as we discussed, it looks like, in the opinions of many, you're going to have a couple of singles in there that maybe reduce it to a four. So looking forward to that. Tomorrow, Super Bowl Sunday, guys, we're underway early with an 11 a.m. post. The bars are open. I got to get a double shot of blackberry brandy on the rocks, or I'm going to lose my voice. I'm fighting a little distemper here.
Mike Willman, we appreciate it, my friend. We'll check in with you again soon. Enjoy the day.
All right, you too.
All right.
Adios.
Mike Willman, director of publicity, getting all choked up talking with the Baron and the Pontiff. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, he's a great guy. We've worked together for many, many years at Santa Anita, and he's another guy that the horse owner, breeder, knows the game inside and out. He was a jock agent, so he's a good fella.
I want to thank Dale Romans for being with us this morning. Herb McCauley was here. Mike Nyman, Director of Marketing. And, of course, Mike Willman just a short time ago. If you missed any portion of the program, go to our website, horseracingradio.net, a podcast available at your leisure. And be sure to join us this afternoon. Myself, Jude, and retired jockey Herb McCauley bring you that exclusive coverage of the Don Handicap and the Gulfstream Park Turf. Begins 4 o'clock Eastern Time. We're off and running on Saturdays at Gulfstream.
Yeah, can't wait. Very excited.
I want to thank our producer, Lee Della Pina, back in our Lexington studios. The Baroness, my beautiful wife, Michelle, being on site with us here at Gulfstream Park, pushing all the buttons. For Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penna. And yeah, I know, nothing good comes of deviation, so go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.